Okay, good morning, guys. We'll just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together as a congregation to have the opportunity to preach to this special people. Lord, what a privilege it is. And Lord, it is. I just pray that you put the right words in my mouth, that what I show them from the Bible, that it will be beneficial to them, they will be glorifying to your name, and it will be an encouragement to my brethren. And I pray this in Jesus' name. So it's been a while since I preached, and the last time I preached was in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. So if you could please just turn there, just so we can get a refresher. And that message that I preached was called The Growing Christian. And I decided after that message, I'm going to do a whole series on it, because I thought it's just such an excellent theme to draw out upon. And so we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 11. And it says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And in that message, I preached on 3 points of the growing Christian: how we ought to read our Bible, how we ought to do the Bible, and how we ought to teach the Bible. And we can remind of that when we look at verse 12, talking about the first principles of the oracles of God, you know, being needing of the milk, so the basic things of the Bible, and then not of strong drinks, so those are the more advanced things of the Bible. And then we also see it talking about the word of righteousness, obviously referring to the word of God. That was reading the Bible. We gain knowledge by reading the Bible. Then we also see that this doing the Bible in verse 14, even those who by reason of use, when we do the Bible, it's building upon that foundation. Once we've read the Bible, now we put it into practice. And then in verse 13 is the pinnacle. Once you've read the Bible, once you've done the Bible, now you're ready to teach the Bible. It says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So we can see that the hindrance that people have is that what's preventing them from teaching the Bible is that they haven't done the step before, they haven't read the Bible, they haven't taught, they haven't done the Bible. But once you've accomplished those two things, once you've read it, you've become knowledgeable in the things of the Bible, you've put it into practice and seen it done in your life, now you're ready to be teachers. In verse 12 it says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. So that's the pinnacle and this logical progression. You read the Bible, you do the Bible, and you teach the Bible. So as I'm going through this series, I'm gonna progressively work through them. It starts off with reading the Bible, doing the Bible, and then teaching the Bible. But today we're going to be really focusing on reading the Bible, and that's the point of this message, is reasons you need wisdom, right? When we understand why we need wisdom, it gives us a motivation. Why should we read the Bible? Because when you read the Bible, you gain wisdom. You gain lots of it. So if you guys have a bookmark, I'd like you to keep it in the book of Proverbs, because we're going to be extensively using the wisdom books, funnily enough. We're going to be using the book of Job. We're going to be using the book of Psalms. And we're going to be using the book of Proverbs. So I have 4 points today. And they are: wisdom is pure and right. Wisdom is accessible, wisdom is valuable, and wisdom gives discernment. Now, there's this saying, it's not a biblical saying, but I really like it, and it kind of proves my point well. And it's, "Give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime." And that's the point of all preaching from the pulpit, is that it's designed to give you the tools to know how to gather from the Bible. We're not just teaching you, we're not just spoon-feeding you, this is what you need to believe, just believe it because I say so. No, we're giving you the tools. This is how to read the Bible. And that's the whole point, is that if we can show you how to read the Bible, then you're going to be able to gather it for yourself, whatever life situation you find yourself in. And we often notice that, you know, cult leaders, they often just spoon feed you. You know, they just give a man a fish, you feed him for the day. So then they'll come back again, you know, the people come back again to this cult leader and they'll get fed from them. That leads to, you know, people following a personality and not Christ. My aim is not to elevate the preacher, but to elevate Jesus Christ, God, the wisdom of God. And that in whatever situation you find yourself in, you might even find yourself alone and you have no one to go to. Who are you going to turn to? Turn to God, because you have the tools. I've given, hopefully, by the end of the message, I've taught you how to fish. I've taught you how to gather out of the Bible. So my first point, before I get to my first point, Pastor Eddie always talks about reading the Bible. He talks about how if you can read it as fast as you can talk, it's 72 hours and you can get through the Bible. Me, I'm a slow reader. Let's say it takes 90 hours for me to read through the Bible. Even then, I can read through it in 3 months, right? Each month maximum has 31 days. If you divide 90 by 30, you get roughly 3 months. It takes, and that's just reading 1 hour a day, I can get through the whole Bible. Now, we're in the book of Proverbs, and how many chapters does Proverbs have? 31, right? So, most of the months in the year, some have 30, some of them have 31. So, even then, it's a very approachable step of, if you've never read the Bible before, it's a bite-sized way of getting hooked into the Bible, because it only takes 5 minutes to read one proverb, right? How much time do we spend in a day doing vain things that take more than 5 minutes, right? Things that we ought to cut out of our lives. There's really no excuse for reading the Bible, myself included, you know? Like, I'm doing vain things, I spent more than 5 minutes. That 5 minutes, I could have read a proverb. And my whole point is that once you start reading the Bible, you're going to get addicted to it. And then that, whatever that addiction is going to get replaced with reading the Bible, something that's not vain, something that's valuable. And I made this saying up, it's called a proverb a day keeps temptation away. Obviously, stealing from the idea of an apple a day keeps the doctor away. But it's true, you know, like, sometimes you wake up in the morning, you just check the calendar. Oh, today is the 12th. That I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 12. So it means that I can save another bookmark for another part of the Bible. So really, guys, there's no excuse to read the Proverbs. At the very minimum, it's 5 minutes. And by the time you get to next week, you have read 7 Proverbs, minimum. And I guarantee you that once you start reading Proverbs, you're going to say, mate, 5 minutes of the Bible is not enough. I want to read more of it. And then that's when you get into your 1 hour a day. I'm going to read through the Bible 4 times a year, etc. Anyway, my first point is wisdom is pure and right. So that's in verses 6 to 8. And it says, so we're going to, well, like I said, I'm going to be using the book of the Proverbs quite often, as well as Job and Psalms. So verse 6 to 8 says, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. You know, in Philippians, it talks about approving things that are excellent. And in Proverbs, it talks about, I was speaking of excellent things. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I missed verse 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing fraud or perverse in them. So as Christians, we naturally have two natures. We've got the flesh nature and we've got the spiritual nature. Our flesh is naturally inclined to those things that are froward and perverse. And, you know, we naturally, in the flesh, when someone offends us, when we get into conflict, we start thinking evil of others. That's the flesh way of doing things. That's the worldly way of doing things. God's way, the wise way of doing things, is to think good of people, to think give people the benefit of the doubt. Wisdom, it draws out the truth of matter and it looks for what is good. The Bible talks about out of the heart, out of the heart, the mouth. I can't quote that verse, but like, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is in the heart, we naturally spend the most time talking about. You know, if we're talking about froward and perverse things, it reveals that the heart is naturally inclined. It's pointed in the direction of the flesh. But we can, if we're speaking nice things, if we're speaking things that are edifying, good, and beneficial, then our heart is inclined towards God. So we can tell from what comes out of our mouth where our heart is pointed. Is it pointed towards the world, or is it pointed towards God? Is it towards the things that are forward or perverse, or is it things that are good and pure? We see that wisdom shuns wickedness. You know, it's like oil and water. Like they just don't go together. Wisdom and wickedness, they just don't match. They're just like, they're antithetical to each other. And wisdom also seeks to edify. You know, there's that verse where it talks about whatsoever things are pure and lovely, in things of good report, if you know, of virtue, think on these things. And it also talks about let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. So there's this thing that we recognize even in the secular world called projection. Have we guys heard of it? Right? So it's like, sometimes when we're in the flesh, we have the tendency to project our own sins onto other people. In Titus 1:15, it says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even the mind and conscience is defiled. So when we're operating in the flesh, when we're thinking worldly things, our mind is naturally thinking of forward and perverse things. We recognize our own sin, and we're quick to point it out in other people. We're just, you know, we speak frowardly or perversely towards them. We say, you're doing this sin, not failing to realize that we're doing their own sin ourselves. And we even see that example in the Bible when, one example, I'm sure there's many examples, but the one that came to mind for me is when David, he just committed the about adultery with Bathsheba, and then obviously on some level he recognizes his sin, but he's unwilling to repent of it, he's unwilling to acknowledge it. So obviously the right thing for David to have done is he should have gone to God and confessed, you know, repented, but because he decided, nah, I'm going to double down my sin, I'm going to hide it, I'm going to try and shove it in the corner, what ends up happening is that his sin is no sin stays private. Instead, he projects his sin onto someone else, and that ends up happening to Uriah. And Uriah it draws out what was opposite to him. Uriah was really faithful. He was a faithful soldier. He was loyal to the army. He was loyal to his wife. And when David he tries and gets Uriah to sleep with his wife, but Uriah refused because he was such an honorable man, and David just doubled down on his sin. But how did that end up for David? Badly, you know. Obviously, Nathan the prophet came to David and said, you know, you're the man that's done this sin, and all these consequences are going to come to you. You know, your house is going to be taken by the sword. You know, there's not going to be peace in your house anymore. So we recognize that is the opposite of wisdom. It's what David did by doubling down on his sin, it was not wise. It was foolish, and it led to the ruin of his house. That's projection. Then we also have this idea in Romans 16:19. It says, I will have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. I really like that we don't always need to keep our mind in the world. We don't need to have our ears tuned to every single minute of news every day that's coming in every 3 minutes. Because it's overwhelming. There's too much news in the world. There's too much evil news. I will have you simple concerning evil. So we don't need to take in all that evil, because Paul says, I will have you wise unto that which is good. Why is that? Why do we not need to keep studying evil things? Why are we able to benefit from studying good things? It's because when we understand what is true, what is right, we naturally are able to recognize what is evil. You know, because what is evil is an absence of what is good. You know, the things that are good, they'll naturally are self-contained. They're complete in themselves. But evil, there's an absence of that. There's a lack of what is good. You know, when they say that if you're trying to spot a counterfeit coin, you don't go about it by studying counterfeit coins. You go about it by studying the true coin. When you look at the true coin, you naturally see counterfeit coins. That doesn't match up with the characteristics of a true coin. I can reject it. And that's the whole point of wisdom, is that you're trying to stay ahead of the game. You're trying to stay two steps ahead, you know, or 100 steps ahead. Because if you're out there just looking at whether you know, you're keeping in touch with all the evil news that's coming, you're listening to conspiracy theories, you know, you're studying counterfeit coins, whatever it is, you're always going to be one step behind because someone's just going to pull out a new counterfeit coin and you're going to have to study that. But if you study what is true, what is right, you're always going to be ahead, and that is wisdom. You know, you're seeking that which is good. And we have to touch on this because, you know, it seems to be one of the predominant factors that we're dealing with in this world, and that's AI. You know, the thing that defines probably the 20th and the 21st century is computing. You know, computers have just got more and more powerful, and just like any other tool, it can be used for good and it can be used for evil. But AI, it's just so deceiving. You know, there's a lot of it. You know, I call it AI slop because I'll be just reading something on the internet and it's like, oh, this sounds really good. You know, you're getting me hyped up. This is such a wonderful story. And then as I'm reading it, it's like, oh man, this is fake, you know? And it's so disappointing because, like, I was getting hyped up. This is such a feel-good story. And it's like, oh, I just wasted 5 minutes of my life reading something that's rubbish. I will have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. If you don't grow in wisdom, your mind will get defiled. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing froward or perverse in them. So that was my first point. Wisdom is pure and right. Second, wisdom is accessible. So that's in verse 9. And it says, they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. The words of God are plain to those looking for answers. If you ask God for wisdom, he will always say yes. And I think that seems to be the stumbling block for people, is that God speaks black and white, you know. And sometimes it's that clarity that we refuse to accept. Sometimes it's just too plain and accessible. It's that, nah, it can't be that simple. You know, if I just follow this wisdom of God, it's going to work out. Nah, it can't be that simple. That always seems to be a stumbling block because it's our pride that gets lifted up and we start trying to, nah, it can't be that simple. It has to be more complicated. So we start doing things our own with our own wisdom, making things more complicated than they need to be, when in fact it's God's wisdom that works best. So you're in the Proverbs. Please turn to the book of Job. So that's two books back. Job chapter 32. And Job chapter 32, verse 9. It says, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. So we look at the world and we see people with credentials, you know, doctors and PhDs and, you know, judges, etc., politicians. They might have grey hairs, they might be old, they might have great stature, great riches, but they're not always necessarily wise. They don't always necessarily judge rightly. So we understand that credentials or status doesn't necessarily equate to godly wisdom. But it is someone that is humble that can access the things that are plain, that can access the godly wisdom. So in Job, please turn to Psalm 19. So that's the next book over. And of course, Psalm 19 is about the Word of God. The first half talks about general revelation, how the creation of God reveals what is true about God. And then the second half talks about special revelation, talking about specifically about the Bible, the Word of God, how it reveals more truth about God. And verse 19, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know, making wise the simple. You know, before I came to Christ, I was a simple man. I was gullible. I was very easily deceived. I hear a feel-good story. I want to believe it. But it's the Word of God that made me wise. It's not my own wisdom. It's God's wisdom. And I can't take any credit for it. And I don't know, like some of you, maybe you guys might feel like you're simple, you know. You feel like this is such a big world and it's too overwhelming. Well, welcome to the club, because that's where the Bible fits in. It's meant to build you up. It's meant to be an encouragement for you. It's meant to give you wisdom to know how to navigate this world. You know, There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. They're kind of similar, but they're not, in the sense that knowledge is just information, but wisdom is knowing how to use that information. And I think that's more beneficial, because I know heaps of people that know lots of knowledge, but but they don't know how to use it. But if you have wisdom, even with a little bit of knowledge, you can make that go really far, you know. You're in Psalm, turn to chapter 119 of Psalms. And I'm trying to take you guys through the Bible because it's incredibly consistent and it repeats the same things. So Psalm 119, verse 98. We often go to this quite a lot. And it's under Mem. Psalm 119:98, and it says, "Thou," talking to God, "through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." Doesn't that blow your mind that we have teachers in this world using worldly wisdom, you know, professors and, you know, high school teachers, you know, people even in government, etc. Like, they might be wise, they might be experts in their field, but the wisdom of God can elevate us beyond that level of knowledge, that we're able to even interpret these people's, the finding that these people and the things that they teach us, we can interpret it with a biblical mind frame and make something even more out of it. We can read between the lines, you could say. "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies." Now, we've got enemies, right? How exciting is it to think that, you know, whatever the enemy tries to throw at me is that God's wisdom can help me overcome that. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." You know, that's the benefit of memorizing scripture, is that it will just pop into your head when you need to, and then you're able to bring clarity to your situation. You have the wisdom to navigate yourself out of it. "I understand more than the ancients," you know, parents, they love it when the children outgrow them, you know, or grandparents. Like, we think mom and dad is wise, grandpa and grandma is wise. The Bible tells us that we can be even more wiser than them. So you're in the book of Psalms, please turn forward to Proverbs chapter 15. I hope you guys can see how accessible wisdom is and that they're plain to them that understand. Proverbs chapter 15. And we're looking at verse 19. And it says, "The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." I really love that word plain. You know, it's like a straight path. It's simple. It's very easy to understand. And that's what the wisdom of God does in our lives. In such a confusing world, it makes our way plain. It just makes it straight. Like, this is black and white. This is evil. This is wicked. I'm going to stay away from that. I'm just going to follow what's good. And that's what wisdom does for us. Can we please turn to 1 Corinthians? Do keep your bookmark in Proverbs, because we are still going to keep using it. 1 Corinthians, please. Because we do... It's very beneficial to revisit this passage because I love it. But it drives home the point that wisdom is simple, it's plain, it's accessible. We can all get access to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." I would consider myself foolish when I was unsaved. "And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things that despise hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, like, we consider ourselves foolish. We consider ourselves weak. We're base. We're despised. We're things that are not. You know, we're nothing. You know, if any of you fit that description, that's what wisdom is of great benefit to you. You know, I consider myself nothing. You know, like, I'm the dumbest person I know of, you know. Like, when I look at everyone, I was like, wow, you're so smart. You know how to do this. You've got this skill. You've got that skill. It's like, I don't really have that many skills. But it doesn't matter, because It's the Bible that makes me wise. It's the Bible that gives me power. It's the wisdom of God that is accessible to the simple and makes them wise. It says, you know, verse 30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." You know, anyone that's put their trust in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what your past identity is. It doesn't matter if you're nothing, because Jesus loved you. He loved you enough to die for you, right? He valued you. He saw each one of you enough as an individual that I'm going to take, you know, sacrifice myself for you. You know, is that, doesn't that blow your mind? Like, how? You know? And then he doesn't just give us eternal life. He gives us wisdom. He gives us righteousness. He gives us sanctification. It's just so wonderful. So in 1 Corinthians, turn forward to chapter 2. You know, humility is the key, you know. For God to be able to make you wise, you need to be humble. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "But," so this is talking about the wisdom of God and the deep things knowledge. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." You know, like, let's say you're playing a sport, you're playing a team sport, and then hypothetically, imagine if you could know the thoughts of every player that's playing a team sport on the opposing team, right? That would give you an advantage, right? You know, such and such person is going to kick a ball to this other player. And imagine if you knew that in advance. You know, you win every single game. And that's exactly what the wisdom of God does, is that we have the mind of God. We know what's in God's mind. God who sees everything that's going on. He's looking at this soccer field. He's looking at what's going on. He sees it ahead of time. When we tap into God's wisdom, we're able to get such an unfair advantage that, you know, even when the enemy comes at us, it doesn't matter. God's got our back. As long as we're tapping into his wisdom, as long as we're reading his Bible, as long as we know what he's telling us to do. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." So obviously that comes when you believe at salvation. "That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So once again, how are you able to have more understanding than your teachers? How are you able to understand more than the ancients? It's because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit within you, it's able to, when you're reading the Bible, and then the Holy Ghost is pointing out, he's making words pop out at you, he's making phrases pop out at you and saying, this is what you need to pay attention to. The Holy Ghost teaches, it compares the spiritual with spiritual. So you're reading, like you might be reading the New Testament, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit reminds you, I read that something in the Old Testament is reminding me of this. So the Holy Spirit, he was the one that wrote the Bible, but he's also the one that interprets the Bible. And it's through reading the Bible that we're able to get access to that mind of God. You know, he's seeing everything that's happening in this world. It's through that we're able to get the wisdom to navigate this world. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So if you're not reading the Word of God, you're not in the Spirit, you're not activating the Spirit, you're just operating in your flesh. When you're operating the flesh, you're just a natural man. You cannot know the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. You have the Bible in your hands, you have the spiritual things contained in the Word of God, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you have the interpreter of those spiritual things. So are you going to read the Bible and allow the Spirit of God to teach you wisdom? Proverbs, it says, "They're all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that follow, that find knowledge." The wisdom of God is plain. It is accessible. Point number 3, wisdom is valuable. Verse 10 and 11. So we're back in Proverbs, please. "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that are made be desired are not to be compared to it." If you're ever given a choice between wealth and wisdom, choose wisdom, because it is superior. It is priceless. You know, when Solomon had that dream, And God asked him, what do you want? He chose wisdom, and he greatly benefited from that. I think the Bible is pretty self-explanatory, so we're going to look at go back to Psalm 19, so that's in the book before Proverbs, Psalm 19. And we're going to see how wisdom is valuable first to yourself, and then we're going to see how it's valuable to other people around you. So Psalm 19, it says, from verse 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So we see, once again, wisdom of God. It's true and righteous. We saw that earlier. But now it's talking about the Word of God. It's also true and righteous. It's pure and lovely. So we see that link, that really close link between the Word of God and wisdom. The two are very closely linked together because they share the same characteristics. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I love honey. It's really sweet. But the wisdom is even better than that. The Word of God is even better than that. And gold, you know, it's wonderful. It's superior to fiat currency. It's superior to that. But wisdom is even more superior than gold. Much fine gold. So go forward to Proverbs chapter 3. So we're understanding how wisdom is valuable. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. So like I brought out that saying earlier, how if you teach a man to fish, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And I love how it says, for the merchandise of wisdom of it, is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. You know, if you give a foolish man, if a foolish man wins Tats Lotto and wins like $10 billion, they're just going to spend it all away in 2 days. But wise man, you give him $10, he's going to find a way to make that $10 turn into something amazing. And that's what it's talking about in verse 14. For the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver. A foolish man, you can give him so much silver, so much gold, help him win Tats Lotto, and he's going to, you know, throw it all away. But a wise man, he's able to make merchandise of even a little bit. You know, he's going to be able to produce, he's going to be able to be fruitful and make that $10 turn into something. That's what wisdom does. You might not have much in your life at the moment, but with a little bit of wisdom, you can turn into something amazing, something better than silver, better than fine gold. Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in the right hand, and in the left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. You know, this world, it offers you so many things. It offers you happiness. It offers you peace. It offers you length of days. You know, it offers you wealth. Those are the things that the world will try to promise you with. But when you get wisdom, it gives you those things. You know, that those are the things that you should be getting from God, not from the world. These are the benefits that go along with wisdom. You can try and get money. You can try and think, I can buy happiness. I can buy length of days, you know, long life. I can try and buy peace with money. But you can't really. It buys you a fake peace. It buys you a fake happiness. It might buy you a longer life, but wisdom, it promises you, you know, when you're walking in God's will and you're doing things according to His way, naturally God's going to bless you. He's saying, you know, this is my child, you know, you're son of God, you're a daughter of God, you're walking wisely, I'm going to make sure that you get blessed, I'm going to make sure that you have everything that you need in your life. Because God created this universe according to His rules, so when you walk wisely, you're going to be walking in accordance with the rules of the universe. You're going to reap what you sow, basically. Please turn forward to chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 7. Once again, emphasizing the value of wisdom. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You know, wisdom is up there. It's the most important thing, you know, and it's telling you this is the hill that you're going to die on. You know, you're not, don't worry about too much about your money. Worry about wisdom, because with wisdom, you can do much more than money can give you. It's the hill to die on. It's life or death. Work hard to get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Turn forward to chapter 16, please. And once again, it's saying something similar. It says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. You know, we see that wisdom is more valuable than riches. If you read the Bible, you will get wisdom. And once again, if you read a chapter of Proverbs today, you will get wisdom. Wisdom is better than riches. Go forward to chapter 23, please. And as we're looking at the characteristics of wisdom, we're recognizing that, you know, wisdom is more valuable than rubies. You know, it's very, the merchandise is more valuable than silver. And in Proverbs chapter 23, it says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So we see this idea, we need to have a, I'm not going to compromise with regard to wisdom. You know, I'm not going to sell it. Once I have wisdom, once I have truth, once I have the word of God, I'm not going to let go of it. Once I've recognized the truth of the matter, I can't let go of it because I don't want to hear about lies. I have the truth now in my hands. I reject these lies. I'm not going to compromise it. Sell it not. And as we're looking at those characteristics, more valuable than rubies, you know, don't sell it. He also reminds me of the characteristics of the woman described in Proverbs 31, right? A wise woman, a virtuous woman, she is linked with wisdom through these characteristics, that a virtuous woman has all these characteristics, you know, she's more valuable. So, we recognize that wisdom is incredibly valuable. So that's just the benefit that the wisdom will give to you, to yourself. But the Bible also describes that wisdom is valuable to other people around you. That as you grow in wisdom, as you're reading the Word of God, you make yourself valuable to others. In Daniel it says, and it's talking about Daniel and his three friends. You know, when King Nebuchadnezzar and was starting to hire all this and trying to get Daniel to do work for him. It's talking about him. It says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. You know, Daniel and his friends, they were given wisdom from God, and that also made him valuable. It made Daniel and his three friends valuable in the sight of a secular world. So even like in the secular world, as you grow in the wisdom of God, your employers, you know, your friends, etc., they're going to look at you and say, wow, you're so wise. I want to have you around me, you know, because you're so valuable. You know, family, friends, school, work, community, society, church. As we grow in wisdom, we become valuable to ourselves, but we become more valuable to other people. We become 10 times wiser than other people. Get wisdom, grow in wisdom. Point number four, and the final one for today, wisdom gives discernment. And it's in verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I like this that verse. I don't have it in the notes today, but it talks about how the prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. And we live in such a wicked world. You know, there's so much evil and sin. But wisdom, it gives us ability, it gives us discernment to see evil for what it is and to know how to navigate it. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. Once again, this AI slop, it's ridiculous. You know, it's sort of like there's so much deception. You know, it used to be that the internet was great. You know, you could get access to information. You get access to a new perspective that you wouldn't normally have get exposure to in your normal circle of people. But now these days, it's sort of like there's just so much rubbish on the internet. There's so much AI rubbish, AI slop. It's like, I don't believe in anything anymore. You know, I'll see something on the internet that my automatic attitude is that I'm skeptical of it. I'm assuming everything is fake news until proven true. And I believe that's the attitude that as Christians we ought to have, because at the end of the day, it's just this book that's true. Either we believe it's our final authority or it's not. So we ought to keep that in mind. Wisdom gives us discernment. Don't believe everything on the internet. You should say, okay, this sounds nice. It's feeding, it's tickling my ears. I really like it. It's such a feel-good story. Ultimately, we say, is that true? No. I'd like to believe it's true. If it's true, I'm not going to forsake it. But if it's false, I'm going to reject it. Even this sermon, you know, if what I'm preaching here, it tickles your ears. It's like you should ask, you should be like the Bereans, you know, you're searching the scriptures daily, you know, to discover these things are true. Is this sermon true? Is what that preacher is preaching true? Don't just accept this fact. Just assume everything is fake until proven true. Because at the end of the day, it's this book that you need to test everything with. There's so much, yeah, it's just so much AI, just causing a lot of fear. But in 2 Timothy, it says, 1:7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Wisdom gives us discernment. We can have a sound mind because wisdom rewires our brain to think in a logical manner. It allows us to see contradictions. It allows us to see error. When we are on God's side, we can have discernment and wisdom, and we ought not to live in fear, but that presumes that you are reading the Bible and growing in God's wisdom. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's what this world, that's what AI does. That's what the media, the news that's always pumping in every 3 minutes, that's contradicting each other. One side says this, one side says that. It's all about fear, but God is opposed to fear. God is love. Perfect love casts out fear. And we have that sound mind. We have that wise mind to be able to see, no, this AI slop is just causing me to fear. I'm going to reject it. 1 John 4:3, it says, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now it already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children." So that's talking about anyone in here that's saved, anyone that's believed in Jesus Christ, "and have overcome them." It's interesting to think that we have overcome the wickedness of this world. And obviously it's talking about we're now seated in spiritual places. You know, in the spiritual sense, we have overcome this world. Obviously in the physical sense, we still wrestle with flesh and blood until the day we die. It says, "Ye of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Obviously, that's, you know, the whole Godhead, the Trinity living within us. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives within us. The Father lives within us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And it's through that Holy Spirit, right, like I saw earlier, that it gives us the ability to read the scriptures, to compare spiritual with spiritual and say, no, this AI slop's telling me something, I'm going to reject that because that contradicts the truth of God. Or if someone comes up with, you know, all this fake news and stuff, no, I'm going to reject that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because we have the ability, we have the wisdom to discern. That is false. We war against the devil and his forces, but we are on God's side. We can't know everything, but God does. And the Godhead dwells within us and allows us to tap into wisdom and discernment. Like I said, you know, when you're playing sports, how great would it be to know what's in the opposing team's, the thoughts of the opposing team's players, right? God knows what the enemy's up to, right? So how do we do that? We're going to tap into this wisdom. We're going to read the Bible. And he's going to tell us what to do. It gives us discernment. I'm going to end on a story, and I really love it. And then it's in 1 Kings, chapter 3, 1 Kings, because it gives us a practical way of, we're going to break it down because it's very, we're going to try and draw out some principles out of this story. I really love it. Like when I first read this story in 1 Kings, chapter 3, it just blew my mind. Wisdom gives discernment, the judgment. 1 Kings, chapter 3, verse 16. "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him." So this is talking about King Solomon. "And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight, and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in the bosom, and lay a dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. So we have this situation where there's these two women. Both of them had a child, but then throughout the night, one of them died. And then both of them, they come to King Solomon for the judgment to decide whose child is this living child. And obviously, one is telling the truth and one is telling a lie. But here is Solomon. He's here. Just picture the situation. Like, he doesn't know who is telling the truth. Right? Solomon wasn't there to witness this event. Solomon doesn't know everything. No, it's just she said versus she said. And that's what it's like when it comes to this AI slop. It's sort of like one side is saying this, the other side is saying this. It's like it's possible that both have nuggets of truth. So it's like when it comes to the news that's going on in the world, it's like I don't know who to believe anymore. It doesn't matter when we have the wisdom of God. Because we're going to see what King Solomon does next in verse 24. And the king said, Bring me a sword. Ooh, that sounds a bit crazy. And brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was under the king for a bow's yearn upon the son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it neither be thine, mine or thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Doesn't that blow your mind? Right? I don't know what technology Solomon and his kingdom had in the day, but if this had happened, you know, in the 21st century, perhaps what King Solomon might have done is like, okay, let's do a DNA test, you know, let's send an investigator to the house, you know, let's check the blood, etc., right? That could have taken, I don't know how long it would take. But here, he delivers a judgment instantly. Just at the snap of a finger, he says something so outrageous, bring me a sword and cut this child in half, basically. But what that did, that wisdom of God, it was able to draw out the evil that was in one of the mothers, but it was also able to draw out the good that was in the heart of the other mother. That's what the wisdom of God does, is that it's able to, once again, God is that captain, you know, he's looking at the soccer field, he's looking at the players playing, he knows what's going on in the thoughts of people, he knows what's going on in the hearts of people. And it's that wisdom of God that's able to just draw that out, and it's like, it doesn't matter if I don't know all the information. This AI is telling me something. The news is telling me another thing. God sees what is the truth. It's like, this doesn't add up. That doesn't add up. Wisdom gives us the ability to discern what's going on. And that's what gives us the ability. We don't need to have that spirit of fear. We have God on our side. You know, we have that sound mind that I don't know what's going on. It doesn't matter. I have wisdom. And wisdom, I don't need to know all the information, but with what information I do have, what little information I have, wisdom is able to make me turn that and find out the truth. It's able to turn that little bit that I do have and make something out of nothing. It allows me to make a decision. It allows me to make the right decision. Solomon, through wisdom, was able to discern between good and evil and right and wrong and deliver justice. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. So we don't need to know the information, all the information, but through wisdom, we can find out knowledge of witty inventions. We can see evil for what it is. It gives us that antenna to discern. So those are my 4 points for today. Wisdom is pure and right. Wisdom is accessible. Wisdom is valuable, and wisdom gives discernment. So that's, I suppose, message 2A. We're going to look at message 2B next week of wisdom. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time today. Thank you for the opportunity to open up your word and hopefully make the links that the wisdom of God is plain to those that are hearing it today, that whatever that I've communicated, Lord, I pray that it will be an encouragement to my brethren. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.